Are they going to groom Jeb Bush?
Jeb.
I think that's unlikely.
I think so, too.
I think it's hard. A, George could have messed that up for him.
Yeah. Yeah, and we already fell for that one time.
And B, he's nothing right now. So.
Yeah.
I know. Not
doing much.
Did all right in Florida.
There was not even a point for him to run for that Senate seat in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, the only person that's running this time that ran before would be Mitt Romney and Huckabee.
And Huckabee. And doesn't it just amaze you that you can have someone who had their own television show now for two, how long has he been on Fox now, Huckabee?
About a year, over a
year.
Year and a half. Well, you know, Fox is the bullpen for 2012 for them. They've got Palin.
Oh, yeah.
They've got Huckabee. They've got Rick Santorum. They've got Newt Gingrich.
And they're fair and balanced.
I know, and Karl Rove.
How did they get away with that? Can't we sue them somehow? Because that isn't fair and balanced. I mean, I love it. My favorite thing is when O'Reilly starts his show, and we know it's an opinion show. We know that it's an opinion show. He's, you know, it's obviously not straight news. And he starts it with no spin. This is the no spin zone. How can you have a no spin opinion zone?
Yeah,
is it just me? Does that make no sense?
I would love to ask him, but
yes.
he's afraid to have us on.
Yes.
So.
Oh God. Oh.
That would be a wonderful challenge, though.
We should kidnap him.
Oh, we've challenged him many times.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an exciting year.
Carl, we're going to have to end it in a few minutes. We have our Palestinian news coming on.
Oh boy.
It's scheduled next, but this hour has gone by very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been extremely informative, and I've wanted to interview you for quite a while. The last time we tried, I think Ben Fishel came on. You were on MSNBC.
New movie star.
You were hijacked.
TV star you.
Couldn't come on our show. And I said, well, Ben, you're his boss. You're going to have to do double duty here.
Yeah.
And he was shocked.
And he was great.
He came on.
Uh-huh. He was great. He
had to get out of his taxi, go to his cell phone, and he made it. He was wonderful.
Well, we sure do appreciate you so much and all the work that you do. We'd be just about lost.
I know it.
Without you guys and maybe a couple others. But really, really thank you and kudos and blessings on your work. Hope you have a really fruitful
year.
Thank
you. And anybody out there who wants to, they can follow us on Twitter at MMFA, or they can sign up at MediaMatters.org.
Let's put
and
those
what
up.
What about submitting information to Fox? I mean, to Fox. Oh, my goodness.
To Media Matters.
It's been a long day to Media Matters.
How do we get you information if we want to interact?
There's a tips email address on our website, tips@MediaMatters.org.
And
we gladly take tips left and right.
Input. Oh,
great.
Wonderful. Great
so
to
we'll
hear.
We'll do that and spread the word.
Did you hear about the one where Dick Cheney was wanted on charges in Texas for getting sex slaves for KBR workers in Iraq?
I had not heard that. No.
I had someone really reputable bring that one to me, so I'll pass it along. It's fairly interesting. He's a reporter in the town where it happened, and he has all the details.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh,
good.
Carl, thank you for coming on and sharing all this with us.
Yeah. Have a great
day.
Thanks for
having me.
Yeah.
Love your humor.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Please enter the number you wish to dial.
Sometimes you gotta run away, gotta run away and feel the day. Sometimes you gotta sit by the highway and smile at a stranger. Sometimes you gotta get going, sometimes you know you gotta get gone. Sometimes you gotta rub it in when you're right and it fits when you're wrong. Sometimes the sky is gray, oh sometimes the sky is blue. Sometimes no matter what you do, one and one just ain't two. Sometimes you're tired and broke, sometimes you don't have a thing. Sometimes you get treated like a drunk, and you fly away with a broken wing. Sometimes you feel the need for speed, all you have are worn out shoes. Sometimes you spit and you bleed, you chase away your walking blues. Sometimes you gotta tell the truth, other times you just gotta lie. Sometimes you gotta laugh so hard that you pee your pants and cry.
run away, you gotta run away, you gotta feel the day. Sometimes you gotta sit by the highway and smile at a stranger. Sometimes you gotta get going, oh, sometimes you know you gotta get gone. Sometimes you gotta rub it in when you're right and admit when you're wrong. Sometimes you feel the need for speed, all you have, all you want at you. Sometimes you spit and you bleed, you chase away your.
And that was Shannon Jay, Chasing Away the Blues. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris, and this is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. Be with you for 2 hours talking local civil rights, maybe getting some interviews from local folks who are maybe calling in or listening in. It might be you calling in or listening, because the call-in number here is easy to dial or to punch, 427-3772. 427-FRSC. This is a show that lasts for 2 hours, so we got a little time. I've got a lot of tape I want to play from earlier interviews on the street, but I tend to give priority to live callers. So if you got breaking reports or strong opinions or some commentary you want to put on that's about stuff we're talking about or related subjects, hey, feel free to call in, 427-3772. And the name of the show is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. These shows are archived at huffsantacruz.org in case you want to look back on them, review something, bring to my attention this or that, or just check it out. I've been doing a lot of coverage of Peace Camp 2010, which apparently is under some pressure. I just heard from a Kerbugger Chris, who's down there at the camp, just called in about half an hour ago. A lot of media are showing up. There's been there was a big story in the Santa Cruz Sentinel today. The county authorities are apparently saying that, what I've always believed to be true, that the city sleeping ban, the ordinance that criminalizes homeless people at night, is applicable there, as it is everywhere in the city, in spite of Mayor Rotkin's claiming no, it isn't, because they're on county property. Those chickens, why don't they come on, and if they're going to criticize the ordinance, come to the city and get arrested? And who knows, maybe there's going to be that kind of confrontation anyway at the county. A lot of us hope not, and hope that the city will, I don't particularly have any much confidence in this, but I think that it would be very reasonable for the city to recognize that the Peace Camp 2010 has created safe sleeping zones for usually about 50 people every night. I think there were 43 or something last night, according to what I heard. And there's no emergency shelter at all for people walking in, coming into looking for shelter. And that, it's not so much that Peace Camp 2010, or that I am saying, although it's not an unreasonable thing to consider, that there should be emergency shelter for those who need it. But you don't want to arrest people or ticket people for sleeping when you don't have any emergency shelter, or else this simply becomes a get-out-of-town law, which is what some people want. But that's both unconstitutional and unconscionable for many of us, and that's what I've often brought up on this show, along with a lot of other anti-homeless laws downtown. So I guess what I'm going to begin with here is some interviews I did yesterday, dovetailing on a kind of a second subject. The two subjects dovetail themselves. The Drum Circle, which is a group of drummers who meet every Wednesday, or did. I guess they still are in their own way. And they were regularly at the farmer's market, or in the parking lot next to the farmer's market, parking lot number 4, until the farmer's market engineers expanded the farmer's market to run right over them. The police and the city authorities were trying for 2 years to eliminate the Drum Circle by threatening them with Vice Mayor Coonerty's parking lot panic law, which is a law that criminalizes people who read books in their cars or socialize in parking lots. If you read a book in your car parked in a public parking lot, that's now a crime. because you see you might be stalking other people, or you're not parking or retrieving your vehicle, which is all you're allowed to do in the city's 25 small downtown parking lots and garages. Anyway, they were unable to do that with the drum circle. Drummers stood up, and they were supported by other community organizations like HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and the Trash Orchestra, and Wes Modes and others were there supporting them, and the Raging Grannies, singers of some older women who stand up and sing for justice and put their bodies where their mouths are, which actually is kind of hard to do anything else, I guess. So in order to deal with these kinds of disreputable people who insist that the public space should be available to the public, including drummers, the city did this sneak maneuver by, without any announcement or public discussion, rolling over them and putting little vendor shops, little retail establishments over the drum circle for one day a week, which is what happens every Wednesday now down there at the farmer's market. I think Lulu Carpenter's coffee shop booth is now where the drum circle used to be, under the trees there. So the drum circle began at kind of a voyage. At first it moved a block away, and Sergeant Harms and his squad of police followed them and kept insisting they were getting complaints about drumming, and therefore people had to move, and kept threatening them. And so the drummers, not being a group that is primarily interested in even in resisting illegitimate police force, just finding a place to drum, moved over to parking lot number 9, which was the lot up on the street across from the Elm Street Mission. I guess Elm Street is where it is. And they were there for a couple of weeks. But again, Harms and his gang went up there and frightened them away from there. They moved to the town clock and the little park across from the town clock, and they moved to other places, but they were pursued rather relentlessly by the police. So finally they ended up, and for the last month have been, month and a half maybe, been playing at a triangular area right next to the Soquel Bridge, on the downtown side of the Soquel Bridge across from CVS Market, sort of on the levee, right next to the levee path. Every week there's a sort of a pleasant gathering of people drumming and playing, and folks would come and share food and provide some clothing and share coffee, and went on for, 4 or 5 hours, and that actually became a spot where people gathered at other times. And it also became a spot, to be candid, where some people camped nearby, some of them none too neat. Camping, leaving their debris around, that happened as well. And, you know, that was a problem for people concerned about those issues. And, you know, and it's appropriate to hold people accountable for messy camping, no question about it. However, this Wednesday, drummers arrived to find, actually 2 days before it had happened, that the entire area was roped off and the trees under which it provided shade, nice trees, had been chopped down and dragged away. And that's where these interviews begin. Some of the drummers apparently moved up the levee to a different spot, and some went to the Peace Camp 2010, the area near the courthouse where homeless people are maintaining a 24-hour sleep out and vigil and encampment as a safe zone to sleep in. And the drummers didn't actually drum right next to the courthouse because the court was sometime, I don't know if the court was in session when they got there, but the building was still open. Instead, they moved to an area more distant on the grass and did some drumming there, although apparently I'm told it was pretty quiet drumming. They were trying to be respectful, or they were intimidated by the presence of all these well-paid county employees. I say well-paid, relatively well-paid. I'm not trying to suggest we have wonderfully, you know, strong and positive employees paid there, but compared to the rest of the folks in the community generally, they're pretty well paid. And I say this not so much to attack them, although I'm hearing some stories about some employees that are. Well, there was a story in the Sentinel today, which people can read, which is a little. I would say it's a little disturbing, and it is, but since it's the Sentinel, you can't expect but to see them throw, you know, muck and schmuck and propaganda from people who want to get rid of poor and homeless people and who want to cast the worst light on them. city as county employees are, you know, are cited as, you know, denouncing the people who are sleeping there as being unsightly and talking about undistinguished drug deals, or should I say unspecified drug deals, and all kinds of, you know, the usual, what I call the usual series of terror stories that are presented. In fact, I think with two exceptions that don't really involve people who are a part of the sleep out, but who actually sort of just showed up there from somewhere else and were going through, there have been no arrests and no citations. So, and this is, and this, the Peace Camp 2010 has been going on for, well, since July 4th, and today is July 29th. That's, you know, it's now going into its 25th night, and that's quite something with a group of folks who are varied, very disabled and very distressed as individuals, but working together in their own way just to get some sleep at night, and also to present to the community an issue during the day, because that's where judges and lawyers and folks walk past, that is much ignored by the bigwigs in the community, the lawmakers, the people who enforce the law, the judges, and one that needs to be raised. So anyway, I'm going to start playing some tape from there, but I kind of mentioned at the beginning that there was this destruction of the drum circle that happened. The latest attack on the drum circle is the destruction of the area they were playing in. And you can read about this on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, Santa Cruz Indie Media, Santa Cruz IMC, if you go there. Brent Adams has written a story, City Runs Off Drum Circle Again, Cuts Down Trees and Cements Area Closed Signs Along Levee. And he talks about what I've largely said. After finally finding a place to peaceably assemble to play drums together, the 10-year drum circle is harassed again as the city cuts down several trees and turns an area along the Riverwalk into a no-trespassing zone. Shameful. What used to be referred to as the Santa Cruz Farmers Market drum circle has been forced to bounce from spot to spot since they were crowded out by the recent expansion of the market last spring. The drum circle has had its battles with the police over the past couple of years, but it has been fenced closed week after week, but the this was when they were back at the farmer's market. I didn't mention that. The city put up little plastic meshing to stop people from going and drumming, and they just took down the meshing, drummed, and set the meshing aside so that it could be put up again, and the meshing was never there except on those days when the drummers would show up, and it was a clear attempt to simply eliminate a form of public assembly and artistic expression, and it's just also a particular artistic expression that's open to everybody. You don't have to be well-paid and fancy and so forth and pay a big fee and get some kind of lessons from a professional drummer. Anyway, this article can be found on Santa Cruz Indie Media. I recommend you take a look at it. I'll read a little bit more of it. The drummers would remove the plastic fencing and continue to play as they have for 10 years. Eventually, folks Jack Rusk and Wes Modes have been arrested as they drummed in solidarity with the regulars, but the weekly ritual remained and maintained this nonviolent creative community activity. I had drummed with them for many years, this is Brent Adams, and have acted as an advocate for them several times as a liaison with the market management, Police Sergeant Mike Harms, and the drum circle. I helped create the list of guidelines that hung on the trees for the past year. I admit I haven't been drumming with the drum circle since they began to inhabit the spot along the river levee at Soquel Avenue, beside the bank and across the street from the CVS drugstore, and that's next to the Soquel Bridge I just talked about, their most recent spot from which they were driven away. I do check up on it from time to time and be getting weekly reports. The police have been unobtrusive and kind. There have been no warnings or complaints or problems from what I've heard. If there's been a problem at all is that some people have been camping there full time, but now that there is a Peace Camp 2010 at the county building just a quarter mile up the river, the city has taken an inhospitable and highly oppressive maneuver and have cut down all the trees in the area where the weekly drum circle has been enjoying its new home. Two signs have been cemented into the ground reading Demonstration Garden, Area Closed, Keep Out, Santa Cruz Municipal Code 13.04.01. Both these signs have been since removed by persons unknown. On Wednesday, July 28th, the drummers had migrated downriver to the area of the levee path adjacent to the parking lot at the Yoga Center. They were happy, sober, nonviolent, and friendly as ever. The drumming was good, and I might add some of them also went to Peace Camp 2010 and did drumming there. When will Santa Cruz, Brent Adams writes, as a city and community, finally allow these good people a neutral spot where they may play drums together peaceably for a four-hour block just once each week? I think we can do that. And I wrote in response, though I was only there at the very end, I heard a part of the drum circle move to the lawn near the county building. They played in a grassy area under the trees at the invitation of Peace Camp 2010. Yesterday, Ron A. and other food supporters of the drum circle scene were at Peace Camp 2010 distributing food. A stately old tree provided shade. Does this mean Parks and Recreation will get out its buzzsaws again and unroll its Do Not Cross yellow tape to wall off another area from the menace of drumming by going after the trees in front of the county building? I spoke with Steve Hammack, who is the superintendent of Parks and Rec, a few days ago. This is what I'm writing. He assured me that the city's beautification removal of trees and shrubs at the levee was being done to protect and upgrade the environment at both ends of the Soquel Bridge. A day later, I found Deputy Chief Kevin Vogel surveying the scene from the safety of a nearby bank parking lot, saying he knew nothing about the situation. Hammack said the man on the ground directly in charge of this weed removal operation, as Hammack described it, is Andrew Eisenberg, and the phone number is 420-6156, for those who want to call him and ask him why he's despoiling the environment and running after drummers. He also has an email, and you can, again, read this story online. Just, Santa Cruz Indie Media is the website, and that's indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. And I write more. There's another interesting comment that's added after the end of my story. Let's see, people. We have several pro drummers, professional drummers, Arthur Hole, Jim Grenner, Santa Cruz Bear, and others who are paid by huge corporations to teach the skills needed to incorporate a more respectable work environment using simple drum circle techniques. Drum circles are a gathering of every aspect of the social ladder, whether it be drummers making six figures to a person living out of their van to the homeless. Drum circles are a very peaceful gathering that should be the last issue that local law enforcement should be dealing with, or the city council for that matter. When will these transplant politicians realize the art of the drum? Give it a place to commence only once a week for 3 to 4 hours. What's the big deal? It's so embarrassing that Santa Cruz, a centerpiece of the drum circle industry, having drum skull drums in the house, all these pro drummers, and a real tasty time at times, drum circles that progresses at any given location here in Santa Cruz. I'm embarrassed with the county government, actually the current government, that won't allow Santa Cruz what it's famous for, street musicians, artists, drum circles, and so forth. In fact, and there's more that he writes, and I recommend you read him, and the guy is writes under the name Skybear. Santa Cruz has always been hostile. Santa Cruz politicians and staff, city staff, have always been hostile, and because their interest is in furthering a kind of a narrow commercial view of the town or in supporting the sensibilities of the more conservative residents and more conservative economic interests in town. So it's not like this is something new. It really requires a continual struggle, and the kind of struggle that you see, for example, people at Peace Camp 2010 putting up. They're doing that there. And so I understand it by talking with Curb Hugger Chris, who was there about an hour ago, and maybe we'll be hearing from him. Let me give him a call shortly to hear what's going on. He probably has his hands full. There's a lot of media down there because the county recently sent a letter to Attorney Ed Fry. And the letter they sent to Ed Fry, again, as I said earlier, produced, or should we say, emphasized that the sleeping ban is going to be enforced. It's enforceable on county property. And to the extent that Ed is representing individuals currently camping there, he wanted Ed to notify them that they're subject to citation and prosecution for violating the sleeping ban or any other city codes. Ed's response to this letter, Ed Fry, I will read in just a moment, but first, your calls. Hey there, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, this is Danny. You remember me from the streets?
Remind me.
Danny, the red-headed girl with the big tits.
Oh, okay. Well, what you got, Danny?
I mean, live on air, dear. And I wanted to give a voice out to Santa Cruz and tell them, look, all we want as street people and the homeless is to go back to the woods and work there and sleep peacefully and not have trouble with the police at all.
Danny, are you currently at Peace Camp 2010?
Yes, I am.
How's that going there?
Well, it's somewhat peaceful. It is. But the police signs at night are just, they're assholes. They're really big assholes. And I'm going to say this on air as it is. They are assholes. I met one cop. He was pretty cool. But damn it, all the rest of them are assholes. Maybe they may have pussies, but they got an asshole too.
I understand. Now, what about how the county sheriffs are treating people at the Peace Camp 2010 itself?
Well, the people, as soon as our leader leaves the camp, they swarm us, like, what you got, what do you have, you need to stop doing that, and that kind of shit. And
Danny, say that again a little more slowly. I'm sorry, I wasn't able to catch that.
As soon as our leader of our camp leaves camp,
okay,
come and swarm us and see what we got, what we have, and it's not right. I mean, we aren't doing anything wrong. We just need to sleep. Yeah, we're hanging out there in the day because we got nowhere else to go. Otherwise, they're going to ticket us for what we got.
Uh-huh. How were you there today, Danny?
I've been staying here every day, all day, for the last four days.
You're calling right now from Peace Camp 2010 in front of the courthouse?
Yes, I am.
And you got your own phone?
Yes, this is my number, dear.
If you can't...
I will not be able to see your number show up on my screen if you do call, dear.
Sure. You know, what I want you to do, Danny, so I can stay in touch with you and other folks at Peace Camp, although I have Curbugger Chris's number there, is... phone the Huff line, 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F, and leave a message with your number on it so I can get back to you from there if you can, if you're up for that.
All right, I will. I'll figure out how to do that.
423-4833. Just leave me a message there.
All right.
Yeah, and ask Chris if you don't know the number. But what's happening right now? Is everything relatively peaceful there at the moment as you're calling
me? Yes, it is fairly peaceful. I mean, once it starts getting dark, the cops become assholes and start turning their sirens on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can't do their routine check somewhere else away from those who are sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's sad. It's horrible and sad what they do.
I wish
we could just tell the council, this is what we request. We can go to the bushes. We'd rather be in the bushes than showing our face to these people, this public, because we're homeless. We have a pride issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all of us have it, either if or not. The only reason we show our faces on the Santa Cruz Ave is because we need money to eat,
mm-hmm.
to get our alcohol, to get our medical stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it's just wrong that they're going to push us to do a peddler's license when we don't have enough money to do it. We have the things to even eat.
So how long have you been a Santa Cruzan yourself, Danny?
But off and on throughout the year.
Uh-huh.
And the way I've seen Santa Cruz turn, it's just bullshit. Santa Cruz is turning to a dump site. Santa Cruz has turned from a peaceful, beautiful town to a hellhole. And we are going to revolt against this hellhole. We want to make it peaceful once again.
And so that's one of the reasons you're spending your time even in this very vulnerable, very visible Peace Camp 2010?
Yes.
Well, that's, you know, I commend you, and I thank you for doing that. Keep us advised here at Free Radio. I'll be on the air for another hour and a half if anything comes down there. And is there a radio there? Are people able to listen to this broadcast?
Yes, they're listening to me talk to you right now.
Oh, great.
Everyone
is. If there's anybody else who wants to talk, you know, encourage them to either talk on your phone or maybe use their own or call in some way. Because
I'll
have
them do that.
Well, Danny,
I really will.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye. Bye.
And if you want to find out more about Peace Camp 2010, you can, of course, go online. There is a good blog that's being put together. It's at peacecamp2010.blogspot.com. And I was just about to read Ed's response to this latest letter from the county council. His name is Ron Garcia. That's the chief deputy county council, actually. And he writes, "Dear Mr. Garcia, I'm responding to actually Jason Heath's letter of July 27th, 2 days ago, regarding the courthouse sleepers. In my brief conversation with him today, he told me he is leaving on vacation and I should contact you instead. Concerning the reason for locating the sleep into the courthouse plaza, I chose that location for two reasons. First, that is where governmental power to apply constitutional principles resides. And secondly, the Santa Cruz County Superior Court in June unilaterally postponed the three-judge appellate hearing in People v. Facer for 3 months beyond the originally scheduled hearing date. And the law's delay is intolerable here. At stake is a person's right to be left alone and free from cruel punishment when he or she is not guilty of any crime." And I'm going to add here that Robert Facer was convicted of sleeping on a beach on a night when there was no shelter available. And that was acknowledged by the prosecution, by City Attorney Barasone, who was personally going after this prosecution. "Mr. Heath would not answer," Ed Fry, the attorney, continues to write, "would not answer my question as to whether county authorities will be taking any steps to obtain law enforcement action against those sleeping at the courthouse. But the county authorities are hereby notified that such enforcement action, whether carried out by city or county peace officers, will result in federal court civil actions against any and all governmental entities which sought such enforcement." In other words, that Ed plans to sue them if they attempt to remove people from the area, presumably without providing some kind of alternatives, which currently don't exist. Although that's my interpretation, and who knows exactly what, maybe Ed will call in and give his specific interpretation. But the point is, people have a right to sleep at night, and since there's no legal places for people to go, it is cruel and unusual punishment to arrest them for sleeping. Because sleeping is a human necessity and not a matter of some sort of option. It's a requirement for sustaining life. That's my addition. Continuing with Ed's letter. "For far too long, the city of Santa Cruz has ignored the fact that the necessity defense exonerates all sleepers automatically." That's in a defense that says even if you're guilty of a crime, there's a greater necessity that makes you innocent, which has to do with the fact that you would suffer some greater evil if you didn't do what you did do, even though what you did do, sleeping in this case, was technically illegal under the city's ordinances. "Unless shelter space is available, which is almost never the case. Despite this law, the peace officers, at the behest of merchants, despite this necessity defense, are sent forth every night to breach the peace by waking up and hassling innocent sleepers. Infraction tickets are issued only rarely, but depriving the innocent person of peaceful sleep constitutes government-imposed punishment, having an adverse impact on the sleeper's health. This mission of harassment serves the merchant's goal of keeping the houseless feeling stressed and unwelcome despite their innocence. I urge you to read all three briefs in the Facer appeal before you or other county authorities decide to obtain such unconstitutional enforcement action. I would be happy to discuss these matters with you. Yours truly, Ed Fry," and he sent a copy to the district attorney and the city attorney, and you can find that online, as I said, at peacecamp2010.blogspot.com, as well as a whole bunch of other stories. And thank you, Becky Johnson and Curb Hugger Chris, for posting all that stuff, and thank you, Ed Fry, for writing that. There's some other new stuff on there, too, but I think what I'm going to do is simply play some more interviews from yesterday, and you'll hear the voices of people at Peace Camp, and of course, folks at Peace Camp who are listening are welcome to call in and talk on the show, as is anyone else. The call-in number here is 427-3772. Before we do that, let's have a brief musical break. Hear a little music from Shannon Jay. She's selling her CD on the streets. She's been given two citations so far, and she faces the same law that I will be tried for on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. I'm going to trial with Robert Facer in Department 10 in the basement of the county building for, quote, unreasonably disturbing noise. In this case, it means I sang the song Downtown, in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz way back in January as part of a demonstration publicizing the homeless deaths of the last year. That apparently offended a sleeper who was sleeping at 2:30 and 2 o'clock or trying to sleep in the afternoon. And he was able to not just persuade a police officer to write me a citation, although in a way it looked like the officer was trying to persuade him to write me a citation, but the city attorney himself, the head city attorney, John Barisone, came to court to prosecute this citation against activist Becky Johnson, who is one of the strongest supporters of Peace Camp 2010 right now, and has written, created this blog, this Peace Camp 2010 blog, along with other actions by the city attorney, like the actions against Wes Modes for his creating the DIY first night, last night parade that happens every year, and walking in it this year. City Attorney Barisone has ticketed him or is prosecuting him for walking in the parade without a permit, as well as other attacks on, let's say, sleepers, homeless sleepers, Miguel de Leon, known as Lito, and also Anna Richardson, for sleeping. And this is an unusual prosecution, which is continuing. It's going to go on into August. And indeed, I believe, the city attorney is taking a personal hand in seemingly going after activists who are trying to secure political change in town, to reassert the right of the community to use public spaces, to alert people to the fact that sleeping is not a crime and that the city needs to acknowledge this. People will sleep. This is the really absurd thing about it. Wherever, if you don't provide them with legal campground areas, if you don't allow some areas where it will be legal for people will sleep whenever and wherever they can. It's just a requirement of the human constitution. Also, at Tuesday, there's going to be this trial for myself and Robert Facer at 10 o'clock in the morning in Department 10. And an hour and a half before that, I believe there's either a trial or an arraignment, I'm not sure which, for drummer Brent Adams, who was ticketed for drumming downtown, again, under the same unreasonably disturbing noise law, which I've talked about at length on this show. It's a very peculiar law, which isn't really meant to deal with music, art, or political speech. It's meant to deal with strange, loud, repeated noises that essentially amount to disturbing the peace, and which probably should be tried under disturbing the peace. That's the claim that Attorney Ed Fry is making in Robert Facer's case, and we'll be hearing from Commissioner Basket as to how she finds this argument. His argument is that the state laws preempt this whole thing, that if they're going to try a person for unreasonably disturbing noise, they have to go to the state law, which is disturbing the peace. And that means they have to provide a jury and they have to provide a public defender. And it's also a pretty high standard. You have to show that there's imminent danger or that the speech being done isn't really speech, that it's some kind of phony thing that you're pretending to be engaged in free speech in order to disturb other people. And that is clearly not the case in any of these protest songs we were singing, and isn't the case also where Brent and Wireless, who do their with their band Love Gutter, do regular drumming downtown, as far as I can see. I'm not a big fan of drumming. I'm not really much of an appreciator of it, but I do appreciate the right of people who are musicians, or political activists, politicians even, sure, the right to be in public spaces and express their views, particularly important in a society that will one day hopefully strive to be and become more democratic, with a small d. So let's hear some interviews. And again, the number here is 427-3772. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org.
Margaret, were you both here for the drum circle?
No,
I was. My friends are drummers, sir.
Right, I see some drums laid out on the grass.
AK-47,
next Wednesday. I hear you. Next Wednesday, there will be. Well, yeah. Maybe.
Okay. So I've been gone for 2 years.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, I was in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And I keep update on the drum circling.
Right.
And on everything that's been going on. Last I heard, it was over there.
And driven away from the farmer's market to the levee, and then the levee, then it was destroyed on the levee.
I never went to the one at the levee.
It was nice. It was fairly nice.
I've only been back a week and a half, right?
But this is nice here, too.
Yeah, this is nice. Yeah, we had a good, there was about 8 drummers here, and then it got down to 3.
And you allow, and here we have an individual who doesn't look like a drummer, but he could presumably, he's a smoker, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, no, the drummers went over to Jack in the Box right now.
Are they coming back?
Or? Yeah, I'm watching their drums, everything.
Well, here you are, in honor of your good work.
Thank you.
And a small cinnamon candy. Of course, I will demand a second hug, if you want to give one.
And while I'm hugging and hitting on this poor woman, so there was a drum circle that actually happened. Actually, there were 2 of them yesterday. One of them at the Peace Camp 2010 and the other apparently up the levee. And the weather was beautiful. The grass was nice. And apparently there were no complaints. So that's nice. But it's not particularly nice that the drum circle was driven away again from a place showing the city, seemingly showing the city's intractable and implacable determination to really get rid of these people.
Do what?
I will demand a second hug.
A second what?
We also have a historic figure, Pat Ring, who...
Pat Ring.
This is Pat. This is Pepper Tongue Pat Ring. Come on, Pepper Tongue. Tell us, what you're up to?
Don't want to hear what I have to say.
What have you got to say? Go ahead. Tell us about your...
What do you think you're accomplishing here?
And before we hear Pat's critique, and it's a pretty... He's a supporter of ending the sleeping ban, but he's not... a supporter of what he sees, or he's ambivalent towards what he sees at Peace Camp 2010. I want to say that Pat himself was a sleeper, a supporter, was actually arrested a number of times for simply speaking out and demanding the right of a previous peace sleeping vigil. It was actually called the City Hall Sleepers Vigil in front of City Hall in 1996 that went on between March of 96 and November of 96 on city property. He was never convicted of anything that I'm aware of in terms of any of the charges. But he was really an outspoken advocate for the folks there, and he would come back, and as well as many other members of the community. And I really hope the community provides the kind of support that was given to the 1996 City Hall Sleepers Vigil. But the vigil itself was somewhat different than the one that's happening now. It was not really a place where people were invited to come and sleep. It was a series of protesters who were protesting the fact that there was no place to sleep. And, in fact, what they had to do was stay awake all night. And under the leadership of Dan Hopkins, who I call Dragon's Heart Dan, and Sean Alimi, who I call Shit Kicker Sean, they would provide food and they would provide kind of a monitoring. And people would come, and during the day they would have signs and protest and urge the city council to change its laws, and to no avail. The city council didn't at that time change its laws, but it did begin to build up a movement which culminated in some minor reforms of the laws a few years later and more public education on the issue. Anyway, here let's hear more of what Pepper Tongue Pat has to say about the current vigil, which is happening 14 years after the one he was involved in.
Do you really have a clear idea how the rest of the public feels about this?
The less I know about what the rest of the public thinks, probably the better I'll feel.
Yeah, I don't know what you're trying to accomplish, man.
Well,
you know?
Well, Pat, you were here for the last protest.
We gave it a good shot, you know?
It was many, many months you were in front of City Hall.
Many, many months.
With Dragon's Heart Dan Hopkins, Shit Kicker Sean Alimi.
And what did we accomplish?
Not a lot, although
a lot of people kicked out of their spots where they were sleeping. You know, they mowed down the stuff outside of the library. People got kicked out of their spots. I just don't understand what you're trying to accomplish. It just doesn't seem like you're doing what I think you really want to do.
You know what? I don't know what you're trying to accomplish here. I really, really don't. I know, I've been gone for 2 years, right? I come back here and you go up and down the levee and it's out of control. It's out of control.
Meaning, be specific.
Meaning the meth users, the heroin users.
People are camped everywhere. Yeah. I walk down. I live on right back where I used to live.
You are indoors, not an outdoor man.
I'm indoors, yes. And I
walked
down the levee, and you know, people are hitting me up. You know, hey, you know, what do you want? You know, what do you need?
Well, we are in the middle of a depression. Remember that, right?
No, I'm down to 2 days a week. I work 2 days a week right now. You know, so I get that. I understand.
Right, you understand.
I'm close to being homeless again, but I'm not there yet.
Well,
you know.
So you think this is not helping to protect your rights, is what you're feeling?
I think the public perceives this as a bad idea. They look at this and they're not. I mean, I work in a bar. I deal with the public every day. I'm on my way back from that right now.
Right.
And the public perception of this is not good, you know?
Well, tell us the things you've heard recently that, you know, let's get the candid truth from a man who, as one time, was very sympathetic to this kind
of
stuff.
No, I'm still sympathetic. I still think that people should have the right. I don't think you should have the right to sleep right here, right now. I think let people sleep on the levee, you know, I mean, let people sleep in their cars.
But,
you know, if you have no place to go, you need to have somewhere to go.
Right.
This is not helping. This is the public, the people I talk to, on a day-to-day basis, are looking at this and thinking, okay, we just want these people to go away. Okay. I don't know the answer. I'm sorry. I don't have the answer.
Mm-hmm. Nope,
this is not it, though. This is not...
But I want
this is not
you.
It, you know.
These people that are up here right now, none of them have warrants. None of them have, you know.
No, I know.
But you go down to the levee, and I swear to God, all right, coming from an ex-addict, all right,
mm-hmm.
an ex-addict, I walk up and down the levee, and I'm sickened. I'm sickened by that shit. The polka dot, everything. Oh. That's, you know what? Oh,
well, I don't know if you know, but we tried this in 96. We did the same thing in front of City Hall. We did this for...
Well, it was
6 months.
Right, but it was somewhat different. I mean, remember in 96 what we tried to do. Initially, it was a sleep hour. People slept out and got arrested and got ticketed. Then it became a situation where Dan Hopkins, one of the primary organizers, tried not to sleep during the night. He tried to sleep during the day and come back during the night and stay awake all night
to be
legal.
That's everybody's excuse for using methamphetamine
right now. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We should have a meth clinic here so we can give everybody a shot so they can stay awake all night.
But
no.
Probably not the
no.
best approach.
I walked by here I walked by here 2 days ago, and there's some guy out here screaming at somebody.
Kavika, yeah, we got. I think he's been moved on.
Is this the campsite that was
right
there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The Wingnuts campsite,
as it's
inappropriately called. Or.
No, good.
No.
It's good, because that was a scene.
No,
that was not a good...
Right.
Okay.
But see, these things...
better.
Yeah?
I got no... Yeah, that was a little over the top, you know, and the guy was... You know. Anyway, yeah.
I mean,
I'm on your side, dude.
Well, of course you are. But I think your criticisms and your conveying the voice of the community as you hear it is an important thing.
Yeah.
No question about it. The difference here this time is apparently every night, and I've been here for the first four nights sleeping. After that, I come periodically to report. Every night there has been a place for somewhere between 30 and 40 people to 50 people actually last night to sleep. And they sleep that, you know, they sleep here at night. Every night, and then the numbers diminish during the day,
right,
like there are 10 or 12 people.
But, you know, I have to say, you couldn't get away with this in Fresno, you know? And thank God for Santa Cruz.
Well, Fresno, they have 10 cities under the freeway, you know, and people have been getting away with that for three years since the Kincaid decision, right?
Nope, nobody's been camping at City Hall, though. Or...
Not at City Hall. But this is actually under the aegis of attorney Ed Fry. And Ed Fry, he supplied the, we have a porta potty here, you know, which makes it, you know, that's one of the reasons it's surviving. There's
they,
Ed.
They roll, it out every morning and then back at night time.
Let me ask Lito. Lito, what do you think of this, this peace camp here?
Lito is one of the two people who are facing this strange injunction where they're being banned from the downtown area. It's illegal to sleep everywhere in the city, but they're being told if they sleep in that particular area, they will be immediately taken to jail. Why? Has he been violent? Has he been assaulting people? Has he been getting drunk and shooting up? Has he been stealing property? No, none of these things. He's simply been sleeping. And also, because there's no legal place to sleep, he expresses some hostility to police when they come along and try to harass him. He doesn't like that. And that kind of resistance is something that apparently offends the sensibilities of middle-class authorities. His objections to police activity have not been sufficiently... they're not illegal. He hasn't been resisting arrest. He's just been expressing his First Amendment rights and his natural kinds of feelings when people in uniform with guns and authority behind them move him along, but there's no place for him to go that's legal for him to rest. At least that's my interpretation.
That's a great start. And what do you think of the new location for the drum circle?
I don't know how it's going to fly. Since they don't want us to have it anywhere else, we might as well go to their front yard where they work.
Where they used to have it, behind the bookstore? That was how many years? 20 years?
Oh, yeah. If Farmer's Market, it was driven away.
The spirit of the drum circle and the spirit of the Farmer's Market are in unison. So separating them is just an attempt at killing what's natural.
Well, we don't want their kind around here. You know what I mean? We don't.
Yeah, my kind. I've sat next to a pile of shit, literally.
Yeah.
I've sat next to a pile of shit for 3 weeks.
Right.
And I was the eyesore.
I remember. I mean, I remember. I was in court, you may remember. And you're going back to court to face continuing harassment
from the city attorney. The first day I seen the three witnesses there, the first one was lying through her teeth because any time I get woke up in the morning, it's, you know, time to move. Sorry about being here.
Mm-hmm. That's what you say.
Cops show up, you know, being dickheads, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get the hell out of people's way because they got to do what they got to do. I was asleep. I fall asleep where I fall asleep, you know what I'm saying?
That's what happens outside. With you. Well, let me ask you this question.
But the second two people, I never even seen in my whole life.
The two witnesses against you in the injunction hearing.
The first three people, the first one was lying through her teeth,
mm-hmm.
and the second two I'd never seen in my life.
So you wondered what the heck? We got 23
faces.
Witnesses
I
against you too.
Faces.
Shockingly,
faces. I remember faces very well.
Yeah.
Well, Lita, let me ask you this:
I gave up all my crime, so that I don't have to look over my shoulders. I don't have to worry and stress about embarrassing my children, my family. So, sleeping and drumming everywhere I drum, everywhere I exist, is becoming illegal for me to be personally. When I see laws changed on somebody's opinion, now that ain't nothing to do with the people. That has to do with personal opinion. Okay? There's plenty of people I don't care to look at, but I have to because we coexist in the same place. And the only time I'm homeless is when I'm off this rock. When you get me off the atmosphere, then I'll be homeless.
The earth is your home.
Well,
let me ask you this. Let me ask this, Lito. I know that Mark Briscoe is the attorney who's been defending you in this case in court.
Yes, sir.
And he says that you've gotten about 19 sleeping tickets, well, 13 sleeping tickets in the last year, but outside the forbidden zone. Is that accurate?
More or less. I think I've gotten more.
It was like 23.
I don't even know. I've just been trying to avoid the whole. Thing.
Yeah, try not to think about this shit.
Okay, so,
No. It's an all day, every day, constant thing. It's a constant. Even when I'm asleep, I'm supposed to be concentrating on who's robbing me and how I'm going to get woke up by an officer or told I can't be here.
Are they still
anywhere.
Giving? Are they still giving?
This is a public restroom. You can't be in the public restroom. This is private area, private property. You can't be here. It's private property.
Are you planning to sleep here tonight?
Here. No, this is a red zone.
Really? You can't sleep at the county building? This is part of the red zone? Meaning the zone that you are enjoined from sleeping in?
I moved out of the red zone to the levee. They had laws for the roadway. They had laws for the dirtway, the hiding place there from the road to the water. Right, it's federal reserve for the natural habitat. If we stand on it, it's illegal, but they can mow it down with tractors every year.
Well,
they got rid of the trees over at the drum circle recently, three days ago. That just blows me away, right? This is supposed to be a tree-hugging community. What about that tree that, they, you know, on...
The garden area they tore up to nothing.
Yeah, okay, let me talk.
The drum circle area.
The drum, yeah, I've never been there, okay, while they were doing the drums thing, right?
It was a nice area.
But that tree was beautiful.
And there were actually three of them.
Yeah, they dug them up, you know.
Well, anything to stop your ilk from hanging out. Besides, it's to beautify the levee, you see.
Oh, you can't beautify the levee. Come on now.
I hear you. Renee, you're here at the Peace Camp 2010. This is your first visit, really.
Yes.
And what has been your reaction to this?
Nice. Aww.
You're looking at a photo of you on a digital camera by another visitor, Lighthouse Linda LeMaster. And Linda is interrupting the interview, but that's okay, I suppose.
You can't send from that, because that's just a camera, live with it.
Peace Camp is kind of settling down for the night. So continuing, Renee, what do you think of this camp? This is your first time here.
And this is Renee Curry, who regularly was providing food to... Well, she does it three times a week, as you'll hear her say, once at Sundays in front of Borders, in the afternoon at 2, once in the evenings on Mondays at the Red Church, 5 or 6 o'clock. I guess the church actually provides the food. She provides a Bible study course of some kind. And then the third time is Wednesday at the Drum Circle when she shows up. But today, I should say yesterday when she showed up, the Drum Circle was... There was a don't trespass sort of sign there, so she was wasn't sure what to do, and she came instead to Peace Camp 2010.
Actually, it's really awesome. It's everybody's peaceful. Everybody's got their little places that they're at. There hasn't been any trouble at all. I think it'd be really cool if this was allowed to happen always.
Well, that's, of course, the point, is to overturn the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance.
Well, but I mean here. I mean that on this property that these people could be here and that would be like the lion lane.
You mean finally the courthouse would be put to some decent use, is what you're saying.
Well, I just think it would be cool if they accepted our homeless community, because they're not going anywhere. And actually, it's like it does something for you in your heart when you can open up to these guys. I mean, they're totally cool people, and they're all individual. And, you know, yeah, they have their problems, but we all have our problems. And so I just think it would be so cool if this was just something Santa Cruz did, that they opened up space and let people just
Do you intend to come back next week, assuming that it's not driven away by authorities?
Yes, because we don't have Drum Circle anymore, and I don't know what happened to it, but they tore down the trees, they took down the electrical boxes or whatever was blocking the space and put up caution tape, and it's just barren and nobody's there.
This is at the spot on the levee across from CVS Drugs at South River and Soquel Avenue.
Yes, and nobody said anything about it at City Council, just like nobody said anything about it when they overlaid Drum Circle with Farmers Market, and I'm not sure why, but it just seems like they're going to get everybody all anxious and cause a lot of angst. And that was a perfect spot. They weren't violating any, you know, noise ordinances or whatever. I don't know about all that, but there was nobody to bother.
Well, courts are closing early these days because of budget constraints, but the Drum Circle was not too far from the court, I would say, over toward the road, but on the grass. Was there much? Did you hear the Drum Circle while they were playing here? Was there much noise? Was there any complaints?
No, they actually never really got off the ground because they're a little bit nervous. And this happened to us before, after we left the farmers market, where I actually brought in a couple drummers to start the circle because they're scared of getting arrested and getting tickets and that. And so they were just sort of tapping on their drums today. They never really got a circle going.
Interesting, because I got here too late to see anything. But curb hugger Chris here said that they were actually drumming, but perhaps he was exaggerating.
Well, I mean, you know, a couple people were drumming lightly on their drums. It didn't have anything to do with...
And we have the occasional skateboarder doing tricks. No broken bones, but possibly a scrape or two. You never can tell. So, Renee, any...
What he doesn't need to do is break his neck doing that right here now. I think they're really nervous. I'm pretty amazed because they don't really fight back, you know. I mean, I'm glad they don't, but I'm surprised they don't, too, because... You know, they do get driven around and harassed a lot, so. And they have better attitudes than most people I know that have stuff, so I'm impressed with them.
Well, thank you, Renee.
Yeah.
And How can people help contribute to the food giveaways or the ministry that you do? Because you are, in fact, part of the Christian mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And you do a Bible reading on Monday at the Red Church at 6, correct?
No, it's not a Bible reading. It's 5 o'clock, and it's a Bible discussion.
Bible discussion.
And anybody's welcome. And how you can help is you can friend me on Facebook. It's Ronee, R-O-N-E-E, C-U-R-R-Y, Curry. Actually, add Webster, W-E-B-S-T-E-R, in the middle. That's my maiden name. And I post what I do. I do this full time. I'm involved in the homeless community, and I post daily multiple times, and so people can know what's going on, like, moment by moment, and how they can be involved that way. We're doing a sock drive right now, and I post that. In the winter, we do sleeping bags and beanies.
And on Sundays, you show up in front of Borders and cause no end of consternation to passing constables and hosts.
Yes, but they don't harass us right now, which I was kind of talking to Ed Fry about and wondering, but they don't, and that's a good thing. So right now, we're serving burritos and water and pastries on the avenue on Sunday afternoon, yeah.
So we got Wednesday afternoon, possibly here next week, mm-hmm. Sunday afternoon at Borders, front of Borders, like, what, 3 or 4, 2 or 3?
2 o'clock.
And then on Monday at 5 o'clock at the Red Church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I teach the Bible in county jail, but I don't recommend you come there.
Well, who knows? Some of us may visit you there or vice versa.
Okay, was that good, Robert?
That was very good, Renee. Thank you very much. So Ed Fry has arrived with some legal papers because earlier today the county council apparently got in touch with him and left him forwarded a letter to him. Ask just a moment. These two letters that you're showing to about the lead here, what the significance of them is?
Well, the letter from the county council's office saying that you're mistaken if you are thinking, as you have been quoted in the papers, that the courthouse grounds are somehow safe from enforcement of camping, municipal camping in the city of Santa Cruz. And so you should warn the people who are there, if you are their spokesperson or their attorney, you should warn them of possible enforcement. So I wrote them back and I said, well, I hope that you will read Robert Facer's, the briefs in Robert Facer's appeal case.
And that's the man who was falsely convicted of sleeping in the Santa Cruz City area on the beach, right?
Right, because it was for a night when they had no shelter spaces available, and therefore it was legal for him to be sleeping. And so any enforcement by the city or the county will likely result in our bringing a federal court civil rights action, so, to establish that right.
And that is what you said in your letter back to the assistant county council, or chief deputy county council, Ron Garcia?
Yeah, exactly.
You haven't heard anything back from Ron or any of his underlings?
No, I only faxed it to him at 5 to 5 because I only got this afternoon. So,
and you actually typed this up on an ancient, who knows what kind of typewriter?
IBM Selectric 2.
So it was an electric typewriter. You are, in fact, using more modern technology.
I brought myself up to the 20th century. Yes.
So you're moving ahead. Comment from?
No, I want you to shut that off.
Oh, shut it off? Whoops, never mind. Tape recorder hasn't really run out of steam, but we have reached the point for another musical break. You're tuned to Free Radio 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org, and you can call in if you'd like, if you have any thoughts on anything we've been listening to, anything we've been talking about here or related subjects. We've been listening to interviews from yesterday at Peace Camp 2010. And it looks like tape recorders are beginning to lose a little power there toward the end, but we'll see what we got left. Let's hear a little more from a pretty decent singer on Pacific Avenue who's already gotten 2 citations for
I'm not sure. I guess one of them was unreasonably disturbing noise. You can decide whether you think this singing here is unreasonably disturbing noise. We're talking about during the daytime hours of 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Coursing through veins, your stormy eyes all wet with pain. You moon against a sky so dark, your heart's on a sleeve. I grieve, I grieve. Your heart's on a sleeve. Oh, I grieve, believe. I grieve. Bones moving all inside of me. Why don't you just set me free? You drained dry heart of chance of fate. Your tidal wave, you'll drown us all. A tidal wave. I fall, I crawl, I fall. I crawl, I fall. Ooh. You thoughtless mind, I sit, I wait. You uncaring world of chance of fate. You chain me down like the shore to the sea. Your heart's on a sleeve, I grieve, I grieve. Your heart's on a sleeve, oh, believe, I grieve, believe. I grieve, believe. Ooh. You helpless sparrow with your broken wing. Oh, you lost widow with your wedding ring. You pounding fear inside the mirror. Your tidal wave, you'll drown us all. A tidal wave, oh, I fall, I crawl, I fall. I fall, I crawl, I'm small, I crawl. With blood coursing all through my veins, you stormy eyes all wet with pain. You moon against a sky so dark, your heart's on a sleeve. I grieve, your heart's on a sleeve, oh, believe, I grieve, believe, I grieve, believe,
ooh. And that was another by Shannon Shea from her her CD, which you can get her. It was called Drained Dry Heart. I'm going to go back, actually, a couple weeks to an earlier interview with Kerbugger Chris and his associate, a sleeper there, another guy called Chris, when they kind of stood up to, or actually Chris number two stood up to, and Chris number one discussed the issue of... essentially, not being intimidated during the day by deputies, much as you're working to cooperate with them and making sure that the entrances to the court are open and so forth. Anyway, here's a little from that earlier interview, which I hopefully haven't played before, but I don't think I have. We'll see.
food and blankets are still real high on the thing. The food is flowing in, and I would shout out to anybody who's already come and brought food that, man, we're very grateful, and it really seems to be flowing adequately. I mean, I don't know if anybody is going hungry at Peace Camp 2010, but we are having a difficult time with the blankets. One of the things we're starting to get a flow of, not only of kids up here, people up here coming down that maybe somehow have lost their bedroll or whatever, find themselves in a pinch, but it seems that they, and I don't know if they're doing this on purpose or what, I don't know what's going on, but it seems like we're getting a lot of late night releases from the Hooskow lockup or whatever it is that's nearby. A lot of these cats are getting bounced out of the drunk tanks and shit like that, and I don't know if they're actually telling them to come over here and sleep or whatever, but they're certainly walking by and showing up on our doorstep with nowhere to go and literally not a belonging to their name other than the clothes they were arrested.
They're integrating well into the camp?
Oh, yeah, very fine. And we're having, at this point, no social problems whatsoever, above and beyond what you would have in any large group of people gathering. So it's going very, very smoothly, I would say. I would rate last night a 10 on all levels. For
there were about 20 people who stayed last night.
So last night's official number stands at 20, yes.
Cool. And do you want to give up?
I believe we're talking like in the first week or so.
A phone number where you can be reached, or is that something?
No,
you'd rather
not at all. But you can follow us on Twitter, the Twitter name or whatever. And bear with me because I'm still learning how to tweet, guys. It's breaking Papa Chris into new technology here. But the Twitter name is SC Peace Camp 2010. That's Santa Cruz, SC for Santa Cruz, SC Peace Camp 2010. And it'll also be on Becky's blog that she set up for the camp. She's going to integrate that.
And that actually has happened. In case you want to reach Peace Camp 2010, you can give them a call at 831-675-6096. 831-675-6096. And the more information can be found at peacecamp2010.blogspot.com.
Tweeting or tweeting into that. But those tweets will be coming in real time from the courthouse steps, which is why we chose that technology, because that's the real-time stuff.
The twits are at the city council. The tweeters are in front of the courthouse.
The tweeters, yeah. We'll be tweeting, and you can tweet back at us, and then that's how that works, I guess, from my studies this morning.
Tweet is all I can say.
It should be interesting. It's a real-time and interactive media that I've never tried before, and it's very, very popular, especially in protest movements. So we'll give it a shot, and we'll try to tweet from down there. But, those are the donations we're looking for. The radio, it can be just as basic as you can be. We just need a boombox so we can listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz. And we really can't integrate now with the station, which is giving us a lot of coverage, because believe it or not, nobody seems to, even the...
And actually, the Peace Camp does have a radio, and they're listening even as we speak. But we have a caller. Let's hear that. Hi, you're on Free Radio. You're on Free Radio.
Hey, this is Kerbugger Chris, live from Peace Camp 2010.
Good evening, right.
Santa Cruz. Please take that crummy old interview off. We'll talk some new stuff happening.
Oh, well, let's hear the new stuff.
Oh, man, I sounded so out of it that day. I'm sorry.
No, you sound fine, actually.
I had to end it somehow, so I called.
Cool. What's the latest from Peace Camp? I heard that there has been some turmoil.
Well, we certainly, I would say, as I put it in the tweet that I tweeted a little while ago, I would say we've definitely got someone's attention. And, I've been thinking about it, Robert. You're pretty familiar, and I know you've gone over it real well today on the show about what's been happening real currently in the last 48 hours here at Peace Camp. And I was thinking today, these people have a habit, Robert, of shooting themselves in the foot. And I'm not sure, but they didn't do us a favor with this. I mean, we are getting media. I've got KTO. They've came all the way from San Jose, and they're actually done one segment here already where they got the sheriff, Ed, me, and a bunch of peace campers. Then they wanted to come back. They're going to come back this evening so they can get the sweepers and put it all together into one big show. I don't know. I don't know that they haven't done us an incredible favor with all this.
Kerbugger, by all this, you mean the story in today's Sentinel discussing
the county attorneys. I mean, I think what
saying, wait a minute, let me clarify for what people may not be knowing who just tuned in. You're talking about the county's statement that you are operating illegally in the sense that the city police, if they want, can come in at any time and ticket you for the crime of sleeping, even though there's no shelter.
Well, sure, the Sentinel article is really what sparked it. I mean, I got a call last night and had a heads up from Jennifer Squires, who wrote that article. She had to actually read me the press releases from the county attorney and whatnot, so on and so forth. And you know, our statement, we released it on the Twitter. I didn't get to a computer today, so I wasn't able to post a comprehensive rebuttal to it. But we did tweet out a pretty good rebuttal, and then KSBO came and interviewed me this morning regarding it, and I was able to rebut. But basically, Robert, I mean, on behalf of Peace Camp 2010, we categorically condemn the both governments, the county and the city governments, for engaging in fear tactics and threats against Peace Camp 2010. We are a legal assembly of people seeking redress from their government. You know, we don't want to build a permanent campground here. That's not the point. And if all these problems that they're talking about are getting to them, well, then now they know what we go through every fucking night on the river bottom, Robert. The drug addicts, the dealers, the violent people, the wing nuts, you know, on and on and on, Robert, that they're complaining about. Well, welcome to our fucking world, people. Now we've brought it right to you, and we've shown it to you. So you know what? I'm tired of apologizing for the fact that we're here, and people are wandering in off the streets in all sorts of conditions and doing all sorts of behavior, some of it not very nice. You know, I'm tired of us getting blamed for it, and I just don't give a shit anymore. You know, this is part and parcel of the problem. This is what we're trying to tell them. And if you think it sucks for you, imagine having to be living in it. Imagine having to sleep with these people. Imagine if we forced you at gunpoint, rich people out there who are listening, the court clerks who surrounded me in the parking lot today while I was being interviewed for KTO, yelling and screaming at me how bad the people we were. You know, I want to say to all of them out there in Santa Cruz, welcome to our world. And this is why this has got to go. This is why this law has to be overturned. It's not the problem. It's the reason for it. And then we could separate. If we had legal camping, we could separate off, and the people, the law-abiding citizens, could go to well-lit places and gather together of like-minded people in a place where the cops could keep an eye on them even. And yes, believe it or not, law-abiding homeless people actually want to be out in the open where the cops can see them. You know what I mean? So we won't be preyed upon. They want the cops to do their job, which is to protect them from this element that we see that they're getting the complaints. So there's my thing. Not very lucid, but I'm angry.
Well,
you know,
let me ask you, Chris. You said that you had an interview with KGO in the parking lot, and then there were some discontented people who were shouting during the interview.
They saw me from the windows getting interviewed, and they came out to ambush me. Yes.
How many people were they?
There were three ladies who were fairly high up in the court. I think I recognized one of them as one of the stenographer people or one of the folks who, you know, writes down the stuff that goes on or something. But they were well to do, and you know.
And what actually happened while you were being interviewed? What did they shout? What did they say?
Well, they were, you know, they were talking about, you know, that there's been, you know, fights here. There was arrest here today, and we're being blamed for it. And here's the deal. It's kind of funny. A person escaped from custody, escaped from a work release program nearby, and decided to come hide at Peace Camp 2010. So a squad came in and got this person. Well, how the fuck is that our fault? You know what I'm saying? I mean, even the cop was yelling at us, this is supposed to be a protest, not a convention for criminals. And it's like, what do you mean? We didn't tell this person to come here. We were on the county courthouse steps. They would have hid somewhere else if they hadn't hid here. How are we responsible for that? You're the one who lost track of them, not us.
And so this was one of the concerns of the sheriff.
Many of the concerns. These are the kinds of things that happen on a fucking hourly basis, Robert, down here, that we get fucking blamed for. They empty out the drunk tank three times a day, dude, and half of them guys are still fucking ripped. And where do they come? Straight fucking here. Not because of Peace Camp. They come here because we're in between the jail and the fucking avenue. So they walk through the fucking area. They see all the people gathered. They do what any drunk does. They come up and start being drunk with people.
Also have a disabled. I remember the other day you had a disabled fellow, John, who is an old vet who, you know, quite curmudgeonly kind of kept a pile of trash around him. And you were pointing out that the deputies had a special sort of protective quality for him. It's almost as though, and I found myself wondering, if the deputies weren't using him as a sort of an excuse to sabotage the protest. Because
And this has occurred to me time and time again, not just with the John Valley incident, but I didn't want to pull this card. I really didn't want to, Robert, because I know that it sounds crazy not only to them, but to us in the movement too as well. But honest to God, Robert, I'm starting to scratch my head and wonder if there aren't some provocateurs being sent into this to help wreck it. And I'll leave it to you to explain what that is to the listeners, but it happens. It has happened. I've been in occupations and in protests and in movements and organizations where they have sent in provocateurs to destroy the movement. And it's getting to the point now where it's so intense that it can't be just chalked up to, well, Santa Cruz is weird. You know what I mean? I mean, so I don't know. Do I have any proof? Do I have any evidence? No, but I just got a sneaking suspicion that all of this is not natural to the Santa Cruz social.
Well, I know there was a complaint that there was some urine on a trash near a trash can, and the only urine I've ever seen.
Yes, there was. There was urine. John Valley, who was a very sick man, very sick with so many diseases that I'm not sure I can actually name them all. This is a man who will shortly die. Okay, and he's a hero. I mean, I know you feel differently about that, and I know we've talked about that, but to my mind, he's a hero. And yeah, he was having an attack.
You mean
he was laying there, he's a vet,
you're saying, right?
And he was laying there on the cement, and he fucking pissed himself. And he should have somewhere to fucking go. There should be somebody to take care of him. How do these warmongers fucking live with themselves? When they send people over there to kill innocent people and die, and then they come back and they let them fucking rot to death on the fucking cement. We are watching this man die at peace camp.
Now, how long
right
did it,
amongst us.
How long did it take the deputies to... I actually interviewed John when he was in a more lucid state a couple days ago. He was a little bit...
He comes and he goes. He's a really good man.
He strayed from the subject, but, you know, on occasion. But he was also specific about some of his concerns, and I may be able to find and play that tape at some point. But I know that when I was there, I guess it was a couple... morning before last, I believe it was... He was growling, and he walked around. He created this area on the grass by pushing stakes into it and putting ribbon around it and then throwing a bunch of trash in the middle of it.
That was the day he went to Dominican, and he hasn't been back since, so hopefully they're holding him.
What I'm asking you is, and then he went over to the trash can and lay down. I think he started smoking marijuana at some point, and even though you guys have been pretty clear about that's not, you know, something that the camp either authorizes or permits.
Well, in fact, we've agreed not to. I mean,
right,
you've
agreed not to do that.
Very nice about it, and all they asked was that we not do it during court hours, and that's a perfectly reasonable.
Right. I don't think there's anything wrong with smoking marijuana at any time if it's medically prescribed. If you're in an area where
but you shouldn't inflict it on other people.
Right. Of course. So, but then I noticed, you know, that, you know, he created another kind of area of trash around himself, and as you said. Then I guess a member of the camp got upset with him and just called the deputies and said, you know, do something about this guy. And the deputies went over and sort of had a gentle talk with him and said they'd be back in half an hour and wanted him to clean up his area. How long did it take for them to really address this guy as, A, in terms of his own problems, and B, in
They didn't. They refused to. And so Gary pulled out his cell phone. They were standing there, and Gary's like, you got to call 911. And you got to get this man some help. And they're like, we're not calling 911. So there's four deputies standing right there. Gary's standing right shoulder to shoulder. He whipped out his fucking cell phone and right in their face called him. And the deputy looked down. What are you doing? Are you calling 911? And Gary's like, yeah, I got a right. I'm a citizen. I can call 911. And he did. And they came. The hospital came, ambulance or whatever, the paramedics, fire truck, and they came and they took him away. And then I spent that pile of garbage that you just so painstakingly described to the listeners. I spent the next 3 fucking hours picking through it piece by piece to put garbage in one bag and what might be thought of by John Valley as a possession in another bag. And we got his stuff here. We've kept it safe for him. He needs a place to sleep, too. However disturbing, I'm sorry that we are unsightly. I'm sorry that we disturb the fucking sensibilities of the populace. But this is it. It is what it is. Poor people are what they are. Rich people are what they are. You know, rich people are just as fucking crummy and nasty as we are. They just got a mansion to hide it all in. And we don't. We got to live out here like the kind lady who called in for you before said, you know, we're humiliated by this. We don't want to be living on these courthouse steps in the face of these people every friggin' day. We're here because there's nowhere else for us to go to fight for our rights. There's no other alternative for us left to try to regain the basic civil liberties to just live. They're trying to kill us, Robert. They're trying to kill us with slow fucking sleep deprivation until we all go fucking crazy or get high on methamphetamine so we can stay up all night.
I think they want you to leave town. That's their objective. They kind of have this narrow view.
Well, if we're not gonna, their object would then be to, you know, I mean, if we're not gonna, then we're gonna die. If we're gonna stay here under these conditions, people are gonna die. And 55 people died last year alone And I want to know how many of those people died from either a direct or an indirect cause of sleep deprivation. There's no way to know that, Robert, because people will make very poor decisions when they got sleep deprivation. You know what I mean? The next thing you know, they're stealing, they're robbing, they're doing some other crazy shit, or they're taking methamphetamine. They say, fuck it, I might as well just stay up and walk around all night. You know, if the cops are going to run me around anyway, I might as well take some speed, right? I mean, it's no different than me or you when we're tired going out to grab a cup of coffee.
Now, when I was at the camp last night, things seemed pretty mellow. It was kind of a really pleasant evening. There had been a great day when, I guess, Rene Curry had come and served food in the drum circle. Part of them had come there. And
well, I'd like to speak on that real quick. We did extend, as you described so wonderfully today, the drama of the drum circle. And we did extend the invitation to them because we really felt bad. We're trying to stay really focused here, but we really did feel bad about what was happening to them. I went down with you to take the photos of the horrible destruction, natural destruction to that wonderful area they used to drum
under. The city's destruction, yeah. The city employees, the city parks and rec employees cutting down the trees and walling off of the area.
So we extended an invitation, and they very graciously accepted. They were timid. You were right, but I was right. There was plenty of drumming going on. They're timid. It'll take them a while to get used to it. I mean, we've been here for 25 days in the belly of the beast, so to speak, and it takes a lot of nerve. To be honest with you, it takes a lot of nerve to sit here and do anything, really. I mean, the building itself is designed to look hideously fucking sharp and imposing and fucking, you know, tyrannical. I mean, it's just not even a warm building. It's awful. So, and you're under the glare of constant people looking down their noses at you and sneering at you, and cops that are just chomping at the bit to be given the order to come out here and mess with you. And so, but anyway, the drum circle went fine, and Renee Curry has very graciously offered to, as she has traditionally done, to tag along on Wednesdays. So we'll have some wonderful food. And also, Renee is just such a wonderful person to hang out with. I mean, she really does lend a spirit to, you know, to a homeless gathering or to the drum circle, and when we gather on the avenue, that is just precious. I love her to death. I hope she's listening out there. But Renee, we loved you, and we can't wait for them to come back this Wednesday. I'm glad they accepted the invitation, and they're certainly welcome. As long as we can hold it, they can come. So,
sounds good to me, man. So I know that the numbers are fluctuating every night between what, 30 and 50 or so?
Oh, we haven't gone back down that low yet. We've been above 40 for quite some time now, and last night we dipped down to 45, but we stayed 3 days above 50. So we had 3 days where we were, and I don't know, I don't have the exact numbers at my fingertips, but there were 3 days when we were above 50. There was a couple of days where we were in the 40s creeping up to 50, and then now last night down to 45. So we've been a while where we've been out of the 30s and into the 40s and 50s.
Now, how about church groups? Have they, other than Renee's group, been interested in being supportive of
I believe
this
that
protest?
We have some support coming. I spoke with a Christian lady last night who was just utterly in tears. She had just heard about us on the news and came as quick as she could bake up a bucket full of cookies. And then she came straight here, and she said that she couldn't believe when I told her that we had sent emissaries to all the Christian churches that feed, all the Christian churches in Santa Cruz that have soup kitchens. We sent emissaries to them, we asked them for help, and they would not even allow us to take plates out with aluminum foil on it for the people that had to stay behind here at the camp. You see, people don't understand that some of us are not necessarily free. A lot of us are chained here because of the responsibility that when we decided to occupy permanently, the sheriff said, okay, but you've got to occupy. You have to have people here. And so we have, and, you know, all we were asking for is, can we bring them back a plate of food? And they said no. We've gotten zero support.
Are you talking about the soup, Kuroda Soup Kitchen and the Homeless Services Center? Is that?
Well, no. The Homeless Services Center is a whole different ball of wax. They're obviously secular, and they have, first of all, you know that I've spoken against them vehemently on the radio time and time again. So they hate me, and they always have. They always will. Because I hate them, and I hate that fucking place. I think it should be bulldozed under, and we should start fresh. But and I guess maybe that has a lot to do with why they're not being supportive. But also, they don't want anything that takes the limelight off them, Robert. They're greedy fucking, what's the word you will use? Poverty pimps. I like that word. That's exactly what they are. And they don't want anything in Santa Cruz that makes them not the savior. They don't want anything that makes them not the savior of the homeless or takes the attention off of them. They are the answer, and nobody else can help but them. So just give them more money, and they'll be able to, you know, pocket more money and get rich. The answer is what we have here. All volunteer, and then it comes from the heart. And that's that simple.
So What about the deputies? You've had a lot of kind words and sort of praise for how you and other campers have been able to work out understandings with the deputies, and yet you've mentioned that tensions have been rising in the last day or so, partially because of media coverage or partially perhaps because of employee
compliance. Well, the negative media
coverage
has created sort of a frenzy now, and the courthouse employees, there's definitely a segment or a demographic of employees here, and I don't want to paint them all the same, because especially some of the maintenance workers and stuff like that, some of the less paid maybe employees have been super supportive. I mean, they've been giving us a thumbs up every morning, and of course a lot of the judges and lawyers have really been super supportive, but there seems to be a core constituency of negativity, I guess, in their a group of people that really hate us, and this has just inflamed them and fired them up to the point where, like I said, they actually watched out the windows and they came out and ambushed me when they saw me giving my 50th interview so far out in the parking lot, and they ambushed me with a lot of hateful, really just.
Now, was that for the purpose of that? Was that for the purpose of the media, or were they simply directing their comments to you after the media had left?
No, I think they were taking advantage of the fact that I was on the air, and they wanted to sabotage and you know what I mean, and. I'm getting tired, but yeah, they just wanted to jump on me. You know what I mean, and.
Sure.
And take advantage of the fact that I was stuck in front of a camera. And of course, they fucking immediately, the cameraman whips the camera off, puts it on his shoulder, backs up so he can get a nice pan shot and records the whole thing. And then when I go to get my piece in, when these people finally shut up so I can, you know, talk back to them, they're like, well, we don't want to hear it, and they left.
Which station was this?
KGO, and I believe they're out of San Jose, and they said they wanted to come back. They did about an hour here. This afternoon, Ed was called down for it. He came down for it. The sheriff came out and spoke, and I spoke to them, and they interviewed the same lady, actually, who just called you in. They interviewed her.
Danny,
and she's quite, as you can tell, she's quite something, and she had something to say to them. So, yeah, and then they wanted to come back. They asked me when there would be more sleepers here, and I told them so they should be back. Actually, momentarily, I expect them, unless they've been called away for another car.
You have been, you know, Chris, you've been very, you and others there have been very instrumental in getting a lot of media attention on this issue. What's your estimation of the media attention? It obviously is dragging up both negative and positive feelings. It's causing both to, you know, come to the surface. What's your evaluation of that so far?
Well, from the point of view of somebody within an organization or cause who wants to win, I'm tickled pink. It's like I said this, to you when we started this interview, I'm actually wondering if this isn't just a godsend. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, from the marketing perspective, and I've done a lot of work in marketing and a lot of work in media, it doesn't matter what they say about you as long as they spell your name right and get your URL right. You know what I mean? And so, as funny as it may seem, I think they really shot their foot off on this one, because I don't think anybody anticipated the attention that Sentinel article was going to get. But I've been a busy beaver today. I mean, a busy beaver. So it's gotten somebody's attention. And I think that's a good thing. And what I'm seeing is people that are coming up that are supportive. We've been getting food all day again, big bags of food and stuff, and the Christian lady last night. And they're seeing right through that. I mean, she saw right through that. She came here and she had no problem. In fact, she wants to bring her friends. And this is a well-to-do lady, a person in the community, and a member of a Christian church. And she wants to bring the whole church down here to sleep with us. Well, so she's not afraid of us, and she came right up to us without any fear. In the middle of the night, too. I mean, in the dark, this person walked all the way here. Steve Pike showed up for it. He was here when she arrived. And she was in tears, Robert. She was absolutely flabbergasted. She was so upset that she hadn't already heard about this. And she was incredibly upset that the community, especially the Christian, organized Christian community, had not come out to support us more. And she was...
Well, I noticed the story you're referring to, of course, is that created some of the controversy, is the Santa Cruz camping law applies to demonstration at County Courthouse by Jennifer Squires, which was the front page above the fold story in... Today's Sentinel. I noticed in looking at the story, and maybe I haven't looked at it thoroughly enough, that there is very little, again, no research on the issue of shelter space availability, which is really the issue that you have. I mean, you're part of it, of course, is the right to sleep legally somewhere, but that, you know, becomes a factor because in Santa Cruz there just isn't legal shelter, and you don't get any. They didn't go to the homeless services center. Squires didn't contact the homeless services center. She didn't contact other public officials to ask about shelter availability. The only place that we learn anything about it comes when I don't even know if you mention it because it isn't coming up. It's, you know, they're shifting the focus here from the need for shelter.
From the issue to the details of the protest,
right?
Which is a common strategy for government.
I mean, it's the usual poo-poo, pee-pee, needles, drugs, get rid of this unsightly mess, violence, and so forth. Instead of the issue of people are going to be sleeping at night regardless. Where would be a safe and legal place for this to be? Why isn't it provided? Why aren't people allowed this option? Isn't this a violation of their rights? And that is the issue that I continually raise, and the issue that the Sentinel pretty continually ignores, even though they are sympathetic towards you as a sort of a struggling group of activists who are trying to, you know, poor homeless people, poor this, poor that. I'm a little bit concerned about that. What's your feeling around that?
Well, my feeling is, you know, we're not poor or anything. We just want our civil liberties. We don't want anything from these people. This protest isn't about money. It's not about homeless programs. It's not about shelter beds. It's not about any of that. And it doesn't have to cost the city a dime if they don't want. All they got to do is, with a single signature, overturn these laws and amnesty out the tickets. And we'll be out of here tomorrow, Robert. And I'll have no problem with that. The thing is that people need to be free to break up into individual communities. The single campground solution isn't going to work anymore. The only solution that I've heard from the community that makes even a tiny little bit of sense is the one that was written in by the lady who thought up the idea of the individual hospitality station. She actually had quite a detailed plan in the newspaper, having little blankets and pillows and, you know, having a port-a-john and a port-a-shower there, and then a sort of gazebo, like open-air sort of gazebo thing with benches and places to sleep, and have them dotted all over the city. And I think that's actually a brilliant idea and would work wonderfully. It would allow people to break up into individual like-minded communities. The criminals can hang with the criminals, the drunks can hang with the drunks, you know, and the normal everyday people who just want to get a good night's sleep could gather together as well and do that. And I just think that this is, you know, that the problems here that they're reporting are exactly my point. I mean, it's not antagonistic to our cause at all, because it's part of our cause. The reason we need this done is so that people are not having to be subjected to this.
Okay, well, then the hard question, though, is going to be, there are some people who say, well, and I this is an argument I often use, because there is no legal shelter tonight, you cannot enforce this law. Then there are people who say, okay, well, let's suppose we create all these legal shelters of, you know, perhaps of a somewhat restrictive sort, perhaps having regulations that some people don't like. Then wouldn't you still be out there on the steps of the county camping area saying, we have a right to sleep where, you know, outside in places we want to sleep, even if there is adequate shelter available? And I raise this issue, you know, understanding that, you know, it may alienate some people to hear what your answer is, but I think, of course, to be candid, we have to do that. What's your answer?
My answer would be simple. First of all, we got to start somewhere. I would like to see movement on that, but our second demand sort of co-opts any possibility of that, because our second demand is an amnesty for all tickets going back to the very beginning of these laws. So even if they tried to keep the laws on the books and everything, our second demand, I don't see how they're ever going to be able to enforce them again, because I don't want any more prosecutions for these tickets.
Misunderstand me. My question is, should people be allowed to, should the camping and the sleeping bans be overturned if there is adequate shelter? If every person who wanted a place to sleep indoors could walk in, knock on the door, and they could say, okay, you can sleep over here, would you still be on the steps of the county courthouse protesting and urging an end to the sleeping and camping ordinance?
Okay, this is one of those wonderful Robert questions I love so much, but I'll go ahead and take a stab at it anyway. You know what?
It's a hard question.
I'll tell you what. And just in case Mayor Mike is out there listening, because I imagine he actually might be at this point, I'll tell you what. If they build us a 2,000-bed shelter, we'll go ahead and go home. I'll call off the protest and drop my demands. All right, Robert? There you got your answer. But it ain't never going to happen. You and I both know.
Of course. And that's my concern about the Santa Cruz Sentinel writers and all these other people. They are not showing you. They're not going over to the shelter and interviewing shelter people and saying, isn't it true you have no beds at the shelter tonight? Isn't it true that's been the case for the last decade? Isn't it true that it's still in the course of this, the police are continuing to enforce these laws and make it illegal to sleep, and people have to sleep at night? That basic point is not being emphasized by the media. And that's what I, of course, I don't expect them to, because if it is, you know, you have an ordinary person would have, I think, no other recourse than to say that's ridiculous. And it's also more than that. It's cruel and unusual to go after people
it's
for sleeping.
It's very cruel and unusual. It's very cruel and unusual. And then to extend it even to the extent, Robert, where, and this has happened to people. It happened to Gabe last summer. It totally happened to Gabe, where a little old lady walked up to him and said, hey, you can come home and put your tent up in my backyard. If you will do some yard work for me, you and your girlfriend and your cats can come live in my backyard in your tent. And he did that. He did it. He went to there. But guess what? He was completely violating the law. You know that, Robert. He was illegal. That was illegal for that lady to do that. That's crazy.
Well, actually,
I mean, I don't understand why Santa Cruz doesn't see that. This infringes their rights as much as ours.
It depends. I mean, it is legal to put up. It is legal to camp in a backyard or an enclosed front yard or side yard. Although it is possible that the city can still go after you for code violations, but the actual camping ordinance itself does allow for that as an exception. So I'm clarifying that for you. I don't know who told
you
that it was illegal.
All I know is that anybody who's ever tried to park an RV in front of somebody's private house has been harassed endlessly by the police.
Oh, that's something else. You can't. You cannot. No, you can't park in any public street anywhere in Santa Cruz and sleep at night.
They've also been harassed for sleeping on property. I know that for a fact.
And,
I know one guy.
And if you park your RV on someone's property in the city, you can only do it for 3 nights per calendar month. That's what we called the Fitzmaurice's 3 nights and get out of town law passed by Mayor Fitzmaurice back in 2001, supposedly as a liberal response.
Of all these laws. If people could actually see every law in Santa Cruz, and I don't know how many of them are there, Robert, 20, 30 of these fucking crazy laws, these little twisty, niggly laws that they put in, every single one of them targeted at one class of people, poor people. This is class warfare. So as I warned the city council, I warned the city again live on Free Radio Santa Cruz, you are skating dangerously close to open revolt, people. Get a fucking grip on yourself. You cannot make layer after layer after law. This is class warfare, and they started it. And guess what? I mean, I just urge people to study Bastille Day and remember that when push comes to shove, the poor people can take it all back if we want to. So, whatever. If those words are militant, if poor Mike thinks that's over the top and too radical for him, then tough shit. But guess what? We're here. We're still here. And guess on behalf of Peace Camp 2010, I'm here to tell everybody one thing. We're not afraid. We're just not afraid. So, there you go, Robert. I'm going to let you go, bud, and go do some peace camp stuff.
Hey,
so.
Chris, I appreciate you taking 40 minutes. And, you know, you hit the nail here and there, and I appreciate you doing it. And I'll be talking to you later.
No problem. I love you, Robert. I'll see you later, I'm sure of it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Chris Kerbugger. Chris out there at Peace Camp 2010 in front of the county building. Ticked off, it sounds like, because of... again, the expected right-wing media slant, which is attempting to dismiss constitutional and practical concerns and just common sense concerns and sort of cover them over with the usual poo-poo, pee-pee, violence, needles, that sort of thing. Although I guess needles hasn't yet been used there. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. Phone lines are open in case anybody's been listening and wants to call in with their own thoughts. That number to call is 427-3772, 427-3772. And I want to remind listeners... we're still looking for a place to put up our transmitter. The current transmitter landlord has told us we have to move, and we need to do some quick work on that. So if you got some help, please let us know. We need a site on the west side, north side, or east side, not downtown, with a roof or a tree, a dry-locked secure space for the transmitter, access to electricity, and access to the Internet. We have a caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hello, Robert.
And who is this?
This is Orbit.
Hey, Orbit. You're another one of them peace campers, aren't you?
I am.
What's cooking?
Well, I just thought I'd continue on the comment of what Chris ended up on. Class 4.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
No, I think you've expressed your opinion on me as being a paranoid conspiracy theorist, didn't you?
No. That's not what I meant. We have a disagreement on a particular issue that I encourage you to do some research on, because I want to know more about it from the specific perspective. You pointed out that there are a number of civil rights laws passed in the Reconstruction period after the American Civil War. When the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments were being ratified by the states, those are the amendments that ended slavery, essentially required the states to provide due process and equal protection of the laws, and also allowed African Americans to vote, but not women. That was a strange thing.
Had something to do with freeing them from slavery, too. It also, in its broad language, was not just Afro-Americans. It says any group of people, any specific group of people.
Any men.
Not they're targeted.
Right. You're talking about the 14th Amendment.
No. I'm talking about the Civil Rights Act, the 420, 1871, final in 1872, as you said. The Constitution in general is supposed to be flexible for the people. It's supposed to be
a living document and all that sort of thing.
Certain times it specifies. I mean, that's what our case citations are for. And stuff. But sometimes, there's so much. There are. There's so much in there that.
Well, I know. I know.
Years of research.
I know the Constitution. Has been used in Los Angeles and San Diego to overturn police policies and city ordinances that criminalize homeless people from sleeping at night. Though I have to also say, I've heard from people visiting Los Angeles that the police are still violating the rights of homeless people with regularity down there, in spite of the so-called Jones and Spencer settlements that have supposedly overturned their sleeping bans.
Huh. Okay, Jones and Spencer settlement.
Yeah. Jones settlement. The name comes from a decision that was done by a federal court in the Jones case, where Jones was one of the many homeless plaintiffs in Los Angeles who were, being tried for, sleeping. They were, I think it was it's a misdemeanor down there, which is one of the.
Fresh news, Robert, we got a sheriff here.
What's that?
We got a sheriff here.
What's the sheriff up to at Peace
Asking
Camp?
If there was an argument or a fight here.
Oh, okay. Well, he's trying to determine, maybe investigate a report. Do you want to report on that further, or should we let you go deal with it? Let her deal with that perhaps.
Oh, let's see here.
All right. Well, do you want to address that and get back to me?
Do you want to listen?
Sure. Go ahead. Let's hear the sheriff talking to the Peace Camp folks.
So there's no more fighting going on anymore?
I was done when I get off here.
Hold on one minute. I was trying to talk to him, so I'll talk to you in a second.
It might have lasted 4 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. But it was about half an hour. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right, thank you. Did you hear that, Robert?
I did. I heard a female voice. I assume that was the deputy inquiring whether there was any fighting, and apparently there has there been fighting. Have you been fighting again, Orbit? What's going
Not
on?
Not me. I try to be pretty peaceful. Not right. You going to speak with one of the possibly suspected parties.
I haven't seen a lot of fighting at Peace Camp, but you've been a pretty regular participant in the Peace Camp since, almost since day one. What's your sense about, is there a rising level of tension in the camp? Is it getting more media coverage? What's the deal?
I say, Robert, every now and then we have what I have termed nomenclature. We need nomenclature for things. So I call it Wingnuticus Lunaticus. Absolutely ridiculous, Robert. That's what I call it.
Wingnuticus.
Transmission from Orbit to Robert.
Lunaticus. I kind of like that.
Yeah. Wingnuticus Lunaticus. Absolutely ridiculous. Sometimes not with homelessness comes either the mental illness came first or the homelessness came first and drove you nuts. I mean, it happens that way to a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, there are a lot of mentally ill people homeless on the streets, and those people are the ones, it's going to be hardest for them to get housing. A lot of times they wind up getting thrown in jail, for something, or, a lot of times they belong in a mental institution on medication, and, that's county services. That's
stuff.
Well, I've been really impressed either. With the way that Peace Camp has struggled with, you know, a variety of different folks of, you know, some of whom are more rambunctious, and you might say, you know, Menolyticus, or whatever it is, than others.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody needs a place to sleep at night. That's sort of the bottom line.
They do.
Right?
Yeah. And
but of course, you can't keep everybody awake.
They should put, because I do, as I said before, I believe these laws are unconstitutional. I told you I was forced into study because of a false arrest. And my big brother, when I called him for a lawyer, he laughed at me. So that led me to the law library.
Have you been
3.5 months pretty much in a row for...
Orbit, have you been using... You know, there is a law library very in close proximity to...
Yes, I was over there today, and right now I'm looking... I just came under the courthouse, and I'm looking at a bunch of law books that when the law library gets rid of them, what they do is they try to sell them. If they can't sell them, then they give them away for free. If they can't give them away for free, they put them out in these dumpsters, and they go off to recyclers. See...
That's great. I would encourage you to start getting a law library for Peace Camp 2010, assuming, of course, that you aren't arrested for scavenging.
Well, yeah. See, there's no, these aren't posted. They're not, I don't think they are. Nope.
Oh, I know people who, you know, I mean, I see nothing wrong with...
books only.
I mean, if they're throwing away books that can be useful to other people, it seems to me there's no reason people shouldn't, you know,
right.
shouldn't
Especially
make use of them. I don't know what, again, if there are more ordinances, again, try to criminalize homeless people from educating themselves by getting these books, it's amazing. I mean, anyway, Orbit, I'm running out of time. Is there any, you want to conclude with something here?
Yeah, what I wanted to conclude was with, most of the deputies, you know, didn't say anything when I was, you know, looking, but one did. And, you know, I think just every, you know, a few of them are, I think, a few law enforcement people are very opinionated about poor people who self-study. They don't want us to know the law. They don't want us to know what they're doing to us. And when it comes to sunshine law and cameras in the courtroom and all them bullshit things about cameras ruining the integrity of a court proceeding, that's bullshit, because I've been through a preliminary hearing to where I was beaten down in court by a constable who, after the hearing, did express to me why he was frustrated. He said, you know, it's all money, you know, this is all about money, you know. And he explained it to me. He just said it, you know, as if he pretty much, you know, laid it out as if, you know, I was supposed to be, my role was to be his nigger, and that was it. And guilt or innocence had nothing to do with it. Just because I was on Social Security, I deserved to go to jail.
Well, Orbit, let's take this up more later, because I've got a roll. We have another show coming up shortly, and I got 10 minutes left. So thank you for calling in. I expect to see more research on recent cases on the 1871 civil rights law in the last century, that is to say between 1900 and 2000.
Chris wants me to get off my attention span ass and get in the law.
There you go. We want, you know, do so. And I'll bring you some more info on other cases that are more recent that may have some, also some direct bearing on these issues. And thank you for calling in, Orbit.
Well, thank you very much, Robert. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, and it's good to see you, man.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye. We have about 10 minutes left here. We're at Free Radio Santa Cruz, of course, looking for a transmitter, which we still... Actually, we have a transmitter. We need a place to put the damn thing. We have one right now, but the FCC is eager to send us on our way and is apparently threatening the landlord. So if you want to be threatened, it's time for you to step up to help Free Radio Santa Cruz stand up to this kind of bogus nonsense. Anyway, let's see what this caller, perhaps it's a transmitter calling in. Hey there, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hey, Rob.
Hey there.
How's it going, man?
Hey there, it sounds like Drum Circle Dave to me.
Yeah, man, there wasn't really a drum circle this Wednesday, but the signs were taken out.
Yeah, I heard that the signs that said no trespassing and such that were up at the former drum circle spot all disappeared, yeah.
Keep out and a demonstration garden.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I wrote up in my story on the internet on this, which people can go to by going to Santa Cruz Indie Media. I heard from Steve Hammack, the superintendent of Parks and Rec, that this whole destruction of the area and roping off of the area and cutting down on the trees is really part of a beautification campaign to get rid of the weeds. You see,
that tree was a weed.
weed?
Well, no, he didn't say that. Maybe they're nearsighted, or maybe they have an unusual definition of what a weed is, or maybe these trees create weeds, and we've got to consider alternatives. These are people who are looking out for your best interests there, Drum Circle Dave.
With signs that say keep out?
Well, yeah, they don't want you to tromp on the dead tree limbs. You know, you might hurt yourself.
Well, they cut it down.
Exactly, and it was done in order to provide you with more of a view of the buildings of the city.
The tree. They cut it down.
Well, they did.
Really nice.
Well, you might see one tree, you know, it's kind of old hat. Didn't our former Governor Reagan, then later to become president, say...
And then they put these signs in and watered them.
You've seen one tree, you've seen them all, don't you think? Isn't that fair enough?
You water keep out signs?
I mean, don't we have a little too much carbon dioxide anyway? I mean, or no, maybe it's... Okay, we do the carbon dioxide, they do the oxygen, I guess, the trees. But,
yeah, I mean,
you know, I don't know.
They cut it down, Rob. They took out...
Dave, I'm gonna roll on you because we can only say that so many times when I have about 6 minutes left in the show. Any new reports?
We're picking up the garbage down there, and we're trying to keep the place nice, but they're telling us to keep out. So keep up the good work, Rob, and tell them that they can't keep us out because that's where the walkway is.
I think that I can say that, but I'm not a drummer, and I must. It's up to the drummers to say we go on a drum. Anyhow.
That's it. Yeah, and Jesus removed the signs, so...
I see. Well, I don't know who removed the signs, but I have my suspicions.
He was trucking them towards the beach, so he had a place for them. I'm not sure where, but...
Well, just...
All right.
All right.
Hey, you take it easy and don't... And watch out for the bears in town.
Yes, sir.
CPD, but look out for them.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. We have about 6 minutes left in the show, and coming up next is going to be From the Cream to the Dregs with sit-in host Louis LaFortune. Normally he was who does his thing on Friday. He's Uncle Dennis apparently is wandering around in some other venue doing something else. I don't know what he's up to, but
I think he's visiting family up in Seattle.
Visiting family in Seattle. So those who we're going to have a whole new look at. Ancient music, and I don't know, maybe an Earth First update. Who knows? Are you going to? No Earth First update. Louis here has got his own spin on the show, and he has his show on Friday evenings. I never listened to it, of course, but not because it's a bad show. Resistance and Renewal, mainly because I'm too busy running around doing some other stupid thing like watching violent. Commercially expensive movies, downtown theaters, or something other foolishness. You know, I may be doing a midnight show tonight in order to play some old interviews, which I have not yet had a chance to put up. Curb Hugger Chris will no doubt have my hide for this, because Curb Hugger is one of the main spokespeople for Peace Camp 2010, and he's very articulate, and he keeps us up to date on what's going on out there. And so we're going to probably hear more from him and from earlier times. I am a little regretful that I am spending a lot of time and focus on Peace Camp 2010, and it's the right thing to do because people are coming together to stand up for civil rights for poor people in Santa Cruz in the most visible way. They're creating the shelter space that the city is criminalizing. I mean, that the city refuses to provide, and therefore... They're providing a real services and real security for disabled people, for elderly people, for vets, for young people, for folks who have no place to go. I mean, this is something that is, frankly, well, it's moving in and of itself. But they're also standing up for the constitutional principles that impact a lot of other people who aren't able or willing to come into this spotlight at the county building at night in front of the, you know, in the entranceway where this Peace Camp 2010 is operating, and who still hide out and, you know, are off in their own private camping spots. Hundreds and hundreds of homeless people. But I want to encourage people to consider coming together to Peace Camp 2010. You can also park your vehicle in the parking lot of the county building so far, as far as I've heard, with one exception in terms of a harassment action without ticketing. People are not being hassled for parking their vehicles and sleeping there. It sounds like, why should they be? The parking lot is vacant. There's a porta potty there. And in many cases, RVs have their own If you have an RV, you have your own self-contained toilet. If you don't, you can use the porta potty. But consider getting in touch with Peace Camp 2010. If you don't want to come down and help, get in touch with Peace Camp 2010 through the website, which is straight old peacecamp2010.blogspot.com. And there's a Twitter, there's an email, there's a telephone number, there's photos, MySpace, and I have to say it, there is some concern among peace campers and their supporters that with these recent statements by the deputies, by the county council, not so much by the deputies themselves, but by the county council, by the mayor, and the newspaper accounts, and this chorus of rising hostility among some county employees and some others, that there may be a move to deny people their civil liberties and demand they leave with no legal place to go. And if that's going to if that does happen, it needs to be very carefully documented, and people need to be supported here. And the community needs to come down and say, no, this is wrong. It shouldn't happen. And people should stand up for folks if this is a possibility, as in a sense it always has been since the first day that Peace Camp 2010 set up there. But it may be more of a possibility now because of the consternation rising in the media, which sounds to some extent like an artificial drumbeat in a way. I'm not saying that this is imminent in any way. I don't know. I've got no new information. Peace Camp is continuing night after night to provide safe and legal places for people to sleep. I say legal, even though the city and county says it's illegal, because I believe that if there's no shelter space, I agree with Ed Fry, the attorney and one of the people who started this camp, that you cannot legally enforce these kinds of city anti-homeless ordinances if you have no legal place for people to go. And therefore, it is, on the most fundamental level, it's what is illegal is the conspiracy to deny homeless people basic civil rights that has been going on in this community for 20 to 30 years through the concerted efforts of legislators, judges, police, deputies, and the media, although the media sometimes takes a more ambivalent role. That's about it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides. I want to remind you that I will be coming back on Sunday morning at 9:30, that there are trials of two fine individuals, myself and Robert Facer, at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Our crime, Sinister Song Sidewalk Singing, for singing in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz, the lair of Vice Mayor Coonerty, the song Downtown. I'm not saying that either of us actually... I have sung that song there at different times, and I'll sing it again. Whether I'll be testifying in court to having sung on that particular day, we'll see. This involves a certain legal strategy. But in fact, the matter is, it is part of a crackdown on street performers and musicians throughout the town, and part of a general right-wing riptide in the cultural scene, which we have to stand up and fight or be swept away by. And that's the bottom line. If you want to reach me off air, you can at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I'll answer calls, although it may take me a while to do it. And I'll see you at Peace Camp 2010 if you and I happen to show up there at the same time. And if I'm not there, there's plenty of other folks who are there who've got some interesting information and a lot of important things to tell you. So think about that. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Let's go out on the music of another song criminal, Shannon Jay. Here's Echoes of My Mind. Screen.
twisted my heart in every direction like a Beethoven symphony. And I'm far from perfection, with only two eyes to see. It makes me sad to see you. It's even worse to hear your voice. Oh, how am I gonna get through, get through, get through? Visions of apparitions as far as the eye could see. And now your words precede you, and I know what you say. I love you forever is only for a night, and it's gone with the day. Leaving me utterly hopeless and always forever haunted. For our courtship was one wonder and romance. Now you've left me all alone. Second glance, I remember you with vivid visions that I cannot keep at bay. I'm lonesome without you in the night, and I loathe you all through the day. I've got a dove flying high above me, and a raven flying behind, and all that's left up ahead of me are the echoes of my mind.
And that was, I don't know who that was. Who was that, Robert?
Oh, Shannon Jay.
Shannon Jay.
Echoes of my mind.
Echoes of her mind. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So thank you. This, if you've been listening to, well, you are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, and you've just heard Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. Oh, we got the thing way up here. Okay. And Robert, thank you for another informative show. And
let's keep that information coming, and I'll make sure that I... Maybe I'll even listen to your show tomorrow. It's possible. What's coming up tomorrow, anyway?
Tomorrow, you know how I'll probably be talking about the WikiLeaks story and the Bradley Manning case and all that stuff. This is it's a watershed moment, I think, for American...
How about some wiki
society
on Santa Cruz? You thought about, you know, maybe we could do something here. I mean, we can't get any documentation on the Parks and Rec destruction of benches, the who makes the decisions to wall off areas that are previously public space like the drum circle. I don't know if you've noticed, but community TV no longer has TVs in the window, and the bench that was in front of community TV is gone. So it's interesting. You see, and of course, I mean, not to mention penguin statues here, there, and everywhere that set up forbidden zones downtown for sitting, performing, and spare changing and political tabling.
So I hear you calling for a whistleblower like Bradley Manning.
Yeah, someone inside Parks and Rec, someone inside Public Works, for sure, man. That would be good.
This might be that whistle
right
now. Free radio. Okay. All right. Thank you. Well, I didn't put that call on the air because he just went right into his opinion, shall we say. Mm-hmm. But it was about the signs and the destruction of trees and the removal of benches and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the call was about. For those of you out there who didn't hear it. Okay.
Censoring again, Louise? Well, that's what Uncle Dennis would do. This is about music. It's not about political opinion.
That's right.
This is 3 hours of musica.
That's right.
In English, por favor.
Well, I think it's all... Well, you know, I did pull a Santana LP out of there.
Uh-huh.
So, I did. Or two. I think I pulled one out. Okay. So that's about as best. That's the best I can do right now. Okay. Well, anyway, thank you, Robert. And
thanks, Louis.
Have a pleasant evening. Robert Norris, Bathrobes, Pierre's, Broadsides, right here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Checking out. This is, my name's Louis LaFortune, and this is going to be the Cream to the Dregs program, because Uncle Dennis, who is normally the host of this show, well, he is the host, I'm just the fill-in host, sort of the faux Uncle D, the fake Uncle Dennis, the ersatz. Okay, I don't have it. That's all I got. I'm going to be doing the show for him tonight, so it's fun for me. I am of a similar age to Mr. Dennis. I think we both grew up, came of age in the '60s, and that's the music of our youth, and we just love it. I hope he saved that. Okay. Well, anyway. So that's the show. From the cream to the dregs. And as Dennis always warns me, always have something queued up. But I just got here and I just sat down. So I don't have anything queued up right now. So just chill for a second. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Making a little bad noise there because I injured my knee today, so I'm moving a little slow, but it's getting better, thanks for asking. So we're going to start out with little Neil Young here tonight from 1972. This is the immortal record. We used to call them records back then. Harvest. By Neil Young. Neil Young featuring his band Crazy Horse. No, maybe not. Okay, I'm sorry. The legendary Stray Gators with Jack Nitzsche on piano, Ben Keith on steel guitar, Tim Drummond on bass, and Kenny Buttrey on drums. Here's a little... I'm going to give you a little background info. Why is it saying there's no disc? I put a disc in there. All right. I'm going to read the liner notes, which is always one of my favorite things to do on LPs back then in the 60s, was read the liner notes. They were always entertaining, I thought. Released in February 1972, Harvest quickly captured the national number one slot in sales and sustained its popularity to become the album bestseller of the year. 1972. Its popular, its most prominent single cut, Heart of Gold, still stands as Neil Young's most purchased record. Although Young later said of that single, quote, "This song put me in the middle of the road. Traveling there soon became a bore, so I headed for the ditch," he told a reporter for England's New Musical Express. "I think Harvest is probably the finest record I've made." Most of this historic album was cut in Nashville with the collaboration of the legendary Stray Gators, whose names I just read. A chronic back ailment forced Young to perform nearly all of the album supported by a brace, a painful condition that did not stop him from spiriting James Taylor and Linda Ronstadt away from a guest appearance on the Johnny Cash Show to sing backup on Heart of Gold. So here we are, Heart of Gold, and I think we're going to probably listen to this. You know what? We might have more than one feature album, whatever Dennis calls it, featured album of the week or spotlight artist, I think. Isn't that what he calls it? Spotlight artist. Because we got, you know, I got all these LPs that I pulled off the shelf here. And so I might have to play a few of them. Okay, so here we are, Out on the Weekend. This is from Harvest, the album Harvest. Out on the Weekend, title song Harvest, A Man Needs a Maid, Heart of Gold, and our